This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
When the Victorian Liberal Party passed a motion to support the Nordic model of sex work regulation in Victoria, many sex workers and advocates spoke out saying that employing the Nordic model is a step in the wrong direction. The Nordic model criminalises paying for sex but doesn't criminalise the sex worker, which would mean that in Victoria, buying sex, pimping and keeping a brothel would all be against the law should a law based off the Nordic model come into place. Currently in Victoria, it is only illegal for clients to solicit sex in a public place. The act itself is not illegal. Leader of the Liberal Party, Matthew Guy, stated in Victorian Parliament that the Liberal Nationals have no plan to adopt the Nordic model for policing of sex work in Victoria. Dina Curie and Tom Morgan sat down with Jane Green from Victoria's peer-only sex workers organisation, the Vixen Collective, about what's next in creating better legislation for Victoria's sex workers.
For our listeners, can you just set the stage for what the reality is for sex workers right now in Victoria and the law?
Absolutely. Well, at the moment in Victoria, we have what's called a licensing system, and it can be difficult for people to get their heads across the different models of sex work regulation. In New South Wales, for example, sex work is decriminalised, and the best way to understand decriminalisation is that criminal laws relating to sex work are removed, so that sex work is regulated just like other work. And obviously that's what's preferable for sex workers, because at the end of the day we want to be treated like other workers, have the same access to our rights and have our health and safety supported as other workers do in the community. Here in Victoria, in contrast, under licensing, some but not all of the criminal laws relating to sex work have been removed. So for example, street-based sex work is still criminalised, and over the top of having some of those laws criminalising our work removed, introduced a system of regulating how, when, where and with who we can work. And it's a very complicated system of laws, and they fit across four different acts and regulations in Victoria. And if you're in breach of any of that, if you're not complying with the licensing system at any time, then you're also criminalised. And obviously that has significant impacts on sex workers, on our rights, and importantly on things like our ability to access assistance from police if we are subject to violence in our work.
A lot of awareness has been raised since the conversation of the Nordic model was put on the table, with the fact that the laws that we currently have in place in Victoria do seem a little backdated in regards to the rights of sex workers. Even though there were calls that the Nordic model was moving in the wrong direction, we're now left with the status quo. So are we happier with no change in regard to the current legislation in Victoria, or is there need for a change?
There's absolutely need for a change. And look, sex workers, representative organisations, health, human rights organisations worldwide, and long-term evidence of the effects of different types of sex work regulation show that full decriminalisation of sex work is what best supports our rights, health and safety. So that's where we should be moving to in Victoria. And the licensing system itself is intrinsically harmful for us. I certainly think that when there's a push to the Nordic model, for Victorian sex workers, that's like going from the frying pan into the fire. Neither are good, but the Nordic model is catastrophic. Now that we've had this commitment from Matthew Guy on behalf of the Liberal Nationals that they have no plan to adopt the Nordic model, that's reassuring to sex workers in Victoria, but it's not enough. We need all political parties to support human rights of members of our community, and importantly, to consult with us prior to the introduction of policy or law that affects our lives and work.
So depending on the area one works in, what resources are there for sex workers currently to help ensure that they do keep right within this current framework of law? And is there more there that should be done in the meantime?
Victorian sex workers are in a very unique position in Australia, because Victoria is the only state out of all the states and territories in the country that does not have a funded peer sex worker service. So Vixen, the organisation that I represent, has now in its 13th year of operation as an unfunded volunteer service. Now, obviously that impacts the level of services that we can do within our own community, and that's not a good position, and we shouldn't be put in that position, especially when we're the only state that exists in this way. So in Victoria, the licensing system actually impacts our lives, and particularly our health and safety, in very negative ways. And negative ways that evidence clearly shows over a long period of time in Australia shouldn't be the case. So, for example, we have mandatory testing for STIs and HIV here in Victoria, yet the epidemiology on that shows that sex workers have lower rates of STIs and higher compliance with condom use than members of the general public. We don't need to be told to go and get tested, and we don't need to be monitored in that way because it's part of our health that we maintain on an ongoing basis. And organisations like Vixen Collective and other peer organisations in Australia do peer education and outreach on that basis. But what's critical about that is by forcing people into a system where they have to get tested every 3 months and they have to produce an attendance certificate saying that that's occurred to work in a Victorian workplace, that puts people in a situation where they either have to out themselves to their GP or medical provider, and obviously people can face discrimination on the basis of being a sex worker because of the stigma involved in our work, but also it compiles medical records on sex workers, and that's not helpful for us in terms of potential future discrimination. Now, there is one anonymous testing service in the entire state of Victoria, and that's Melbourne Sexual Health, which is in Swanston Street here near the city. But obviously, we can't have an expectation that all sex workers are going to be able to access the anonymous service, and also regional and rural sex workers are specifically disadvantaged. And the pushing sex workers through that service, when we are a low-incidence population for STIs and HIV, draws resources away from other segments of the population that do need those resources provided to them.
Jane, do you feel that now that this conversation has kind of gotten out there in this way and we've had in Parliament, it gets said the Nordic model is not something that's being implemented. Do you think this is leading to an opportunity to shed greater light on meeting the needs of the industry and the workers within it, or people will just ignore it once again?
Look, I think it's created a conversation in media beyond sex worker community with allies and supporters of our community because of the level of concern over the Liberal Party support for Nordic model laws, but it needs to be a bigger conversation, and sex workers' voices need to be predominant in that conversation. I know as a media representative for Vixen Collective that it's very difficult to get sex workers' voices in media, and our lives are often discussed without us being party to that discussion. And that's not acceptable for any marginalised community. It's certainly not acceptable for ours.
Now, there are two important things that have come out of Matthew Guy's statement. It's highlighted that you can stand up for a proposed law that further marginalises, alienates and threatens the livelihoods of people, but also the importance of policymakers hearing from the communities before they try to move forward with laws. So how do you think we can engage more on a political level to create a safer and more level playing field within Victoria's sex worker industry?
Well, I mean, sex workers and sex workers representative organisations perpetually make submissions to government on these issues, have conversations where possible with political parties and leaders of those parties. But I think what's problematic about that effort is it's a continual fight on our part to be let into those spaces and to get a seat at the table when those discussions are happening. And often we've been specifically excluded from processes where our work and our lives are being discussed in terms of policy and law. There needs to be an impetus on political parties and on government to consult with all marginalised communities in law and policy relating to their lives. And it's certainly not sex workers, but we're not the only community affected by that failure. It's indicative of a larger failure by government to consult with marginalised people and their representative organisations.
So speaking on behalf of your organisation, what would you like to see happen now?
The full decriminalisation of sex work in Victoria. Very clearly that's what's needed. All political parties should base their policy on supporting the human rights and labour rights of all members of the community here in Victoria, and failing to recognise the full criminalisation of sex work as a necessary step to achieving that is a failure to recognise sex work as human rights, and that shouldn't be acceptable. Human rights are for everyone. We don't have to qualify for them. We shouldn't have to make an argument to get them. We get them because we're human beings. And politicians and political parties that fail to recognise that are failing us.
Jane Green from the Vixen Collective, thank you for joining us on The Informer.
Absolute pleasure.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.